What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cool Blue Late drinkers. Ooh, welcome back. Oh, we're so excited. I can't even pronounce things right. We're so excited about this Lions game coming up here. Oh, my God. This is going to be great. Have you ever felt excitement like this? Oh, yeah, I did last year a little bit. But this is even better because we're going all the way to Super Bowl this year. Oh, boy. Anyway, Big Z couldn't make it today. He just had the birth of his child, young Benjamin. Little B, we'll call him. But he couldn't make it. But with us here today is Bob.
Hello, everybody.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And me, I'm UJ. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the upcoming game here. So let's just get some first impressions here. Bob, what do you think? What are you thinking now leading up to this game here? What are your thoughts?
Leading up to this game, I think the Lions are in a great spot.
Yeah.
They've been working for this. They've been planning for this. They've been visualizing it, and they're right where they want to be. So I'm excited, and I know they are. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. How about you, Red Dog?
Oh yeah. Definitely. I'm kind of glad it wasn't like another Vikings or Rams rematch. I'm excited to some new blood coming in. I like the matchup. I mean, I honestly, you could have thrown the 85 Bears in there and I'd feel good about our chances right now. I just think whoever you put in front of this team is going to be devoured.
Destroy the 85
yeah.
Bears.
Yeah, exactly. They'd eat them up. And I think that's why I feel good about doing that same thing to this Commanders team.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. And Dan Campbell's got these guys heads on right for this game. The reporters, I'm sure we watch all the press conferences, and the reporters always trying to bait him. So, will this season be a failure if you don't make the Super Bowl? Or this? Campbell's like, "What? I don't even think that way, you guy. What do you think like that for?" He can't even comprehend that they even think about stuff like that because it doesn't go through Campbell's mind. So, he's gonna have this team ready, man, and all the players I think are the same way. There's only one game ahead. No. Three games. It's just one. Just the one they're about to play. And that's the most important thing. The battle of the Dans. Dan Quinn and Dan Campbell. Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Usually that was a great, great moment, though, in the interview. What was the question? Was would it be a success if you lost the Super Bowl? And it's just like.
He couldn't comprehend their thought process.
Well, he couldn't afford that thought process. Like he would be driving himself crazy with all the what ifs that they constantly are in. But then I love when he just snapped to. He's like, no, it's one game ahead. Like you said, like it's just the focus of this team. You know, the whole team's behind him with that same level of focus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a reporter looking for some kind of question, reaching for a question.
It gets old sometimes, but you know, but. I guess
that's the game.
Questions, you know, and they're looking for some new answer, and these players are so coached up well now how to answer questions. And Campbell's actually one of the most candid interviews there is out there. He probably gives more information than anybody.
The
players are all playing it straight. Generally, are just the game ahead, and we're only thinking about the next day and getting better in practice. But to defend them on that, that's what they need to do. I mean,
right.
That has to be their mindset. So, you know.
No doubt.
I mean, I think it's like there's like you know, football, the game happens on the field, but really it's like this whole thing is a campaign. It's like a war campaign. It's like, you know, there's always the politicking part of war, and Dan Campbell has to, you know, put his face out there for the team and answer all these goofy questions. And you know, that's part of the game, not getting tripped up, not getting drawn in or giving away too much. And he's, you know, amazing at it because he tells the truth and tells us more than anyone else. But I don't think he gives a single edge to his opponents in doing so.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that when the Lions won that last game against Minnesota, he went up to Coach O'Connell after the game and said, I've seen a couple of weeks, right? So the Rams, apparently, yeah. That was bulletin board fodder for them. They just, you know.
Yeah.
And
I guess McVay printed it out and hung it in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. It's awesome. I mean,
8D chess.
You're always looking for an edge or something to motivate you, right? And,
and
boy, if I was the Rams, that would motivate the hell out of me, too. Just that little thing. But that being said, Amon-Ra got interviewed on this, that very subject. And he said, you know, players are always looking for an edge somehow. It happens all the time, you know. It's no big deal. We look for an edge. They look for an edge, you know. We just use whatever we can to motivate us, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, Amon-Ra, he digs into that stuff with his Green Bay Sucks shirt. And, you know, he's not afraid of a little locker room material, you know.
No. For sure.
You know, I think that's like the level that Dan Campbell's playing at, though. On the one hand, he pissed off the Rams to go and beat up his division rival. On the other hand, he also put it in a situation where they've all had him in their locker room for the last 2 weeks. So if they see us in the conference round, Dan Campbell's already in their heads.
That's one way to look at it, yeah.
In their locker room. Ooh.
Hey, I'll tell you, this last week was... it was kind of, you know, relaxing and didn't have the milk of magnesia out, you know, to calm my stomach and all that. And,
wow,
you know, we just got to watch some football. So on that subject, what did you think of the Commanders game against the Bucs?
I only saw the highlights of that one, so I'm probably not the one to talk to it so much.
Oh, really?
The Commanders look, yeah, unfortunately, I couldn't see that one, but Jaden Daniels looks awesome, though. I mean, he's, for a rookie, he's pretty cool out there, you know?
Very, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to beat the Lions, but I'm just saying he's pretty good for a rookie, man. He looks pretty tough.
Yeah.
What did you guys think? You guys watch the game?
Yeah. Red Dog, what do you
I mean, I think, like, I didn't get to see the whole thing, but I saw enough. Jaden Daniels is a real solid. He reminds me a little bit of what what's his name did last year with the Texans, where he's advanced in his ability to operate the offense, and he also has that, you know, extra skill set of being the dual threat quarterback, and he's not pushing it more than necessary, and he's using it to great effect to, you know, pull off wins at the end of games. And, you know, that kind of quarterback's dangerous. You know, I think he's impressive for a rookie, and I think the Lions are going to give them a lot to digest this week, but he looked good. You know, he's a dangerous player. He's got dangerous weapons, but that's every team in the NFL. You're going to have to beat good players to go advance. But you know, the defense also is looked a little better than their like third ranked run defense and stuff. So. They beat up the, I think they looked better than the Bucks. The Bucks looked not like last year's Bucks that we faced.
Yeah. Well, I did see the game, and Jaden Daniels does look great. I mean, his calmness and his demeanor just belies his rookiehood, I guess. He's just so cool up there. Cool customer. And Terry McLaurin, great receiver, tough guy. He's going to be tough to cover. You know, and like Campbell said, they're probably going to make some plays on us, you know. They'll get some chunks here or there. Daniels might get a couple, might bust a run here or there, you know. But they're not. That's not,
he just said that to piss off AG.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right. But yeah, they'll definitely be a tough opponent. They're young and they're hungry. And you can see that hunger on the game, like. It seemed like they were playing an older team against the Bucs, and I don't know what their ages were, but it just they seemed like an older team, the Bucks did, and Commander seemed very young and more spry and just more hungry, I'd say, overall.
Yeah.
And you know, those are the teams you worry about, the hungry ones. So, and I'm sure they're not taking this team lightly at all. Even though we are, at the last I read, 9.5 point favorites in this game, which seems absurd to me.
Yeah, isn't that great
for a playoff game? But my God,
wow, that's huge.
That's huge.
I think that the Commanders, they do have a fun group in that, and they got the fans all riled up again. You know,
they do.
The Washington football has been pretty sad for a long time, and they had a great history before. So that's all coming back. And but I think him winning that game as a rookie, that's kind of like if they lose to the Lions, they had a great year, you know. I think that's going to be the end for them this week. But
Well,
we got
Daniel's got that. He's got that thing that Sonic and Knuckles have though too, where he's just having fun out there too.
Yes, and I agree. But we got
it's kind of cool.
I don't think we beat the Washington in a playoff game. I think we lost the last three or four against them over the years, and I remember a couple of them, unfortunately.
Yeah,
Bob, you and I can remember. And, was it?
And those were all in Washington. This is the first one in Detroit.
That is true. That is true. Mm. We get the fans on our side, and I'll tell you, the fans are a big help.
It's a key distinction
games,
there.
Man. It's huge. Bob, you can testify that you were just at the last game in Minnesota. And you're going to this game too, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
That looks electric.
Oh, man.
That place is going to be crazy.
It's going to be
those ticket prices just keep jumping up every week.
Yeah, they said it's the most expensive ticket out there right now in any playoff game. And standing room only seats are over $600.
Wow.
What's left on StubHub? Standing room. Wow.
It's amazing yet unsurprising. Like, I feel like we knew this energy was coming, right? Like, it's like this is like what the faithful have been waiting for so long. You knew this was going to be just dynamite whenever we hit that next level. And oh my gosh, like I think the evidence is obvious that this. We have such a hostile stadium, and no one wants to come play there.
No, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been hostile on the road this year.
we've been better on the road than at home.
We've been dominating other teams' fans' home stadiums. It's crazy.
That's true.
You know, I think there's a lot to that energy the fans bring, and I think Dan Campbell understands how to capture. I think his team understands how to capture and use it and let it be an advantage. And the
Lions that Lions flu is back, you know, because I know we're not playing the Rams this week, but it happened again. Minnesota got punched in the mouth by the Lions, and they limped into Arizona.
LA. Arizona.
You're right.
Was that Arizona?
Twice this year.
Right. Yeah. The same twice exact sequence is so uncanny. Like, lose to the Lions, lose to the Rams.
Defensive plan that they were playing a lot of man-to-man and blitzing a ton, and they have a healthy defensive line with Jared Verse, who looks awesome.
Yeah.
So they got home, but the Vikings, man. What we've talked about it in the past on this pod about how this Vikings team, they're just kind of frauds. I mean, they were. Had a great season, right, with the record, but they're just not that level as these other teams.
Agree. Yeah, no. I agree. And you're right, though, how the Rams copied Aaron Glenn's defense against the Vikings. It's amazing.
I do have this thing, though, just I'm vibing just by looking at these coaches, and, like, I feel like you could predict sometimes just by looking at some of these guys, like LaFleur and O'Connell, they just come off to me as just weak-willed. And I don't know what it is. It's just a vibe. And look at it though. Like, look at the difference between like O'Connell on the one side and then like the grizzled like McVay across the field from him. Like, maybe it's an age and experience thing. Like, but Dan Campbell, you know, he always wins the who looks more poised and ready to kick ass, you know, game. Like, it's the other coaches that start flipping out. But I mean, we saw it too when we played those coaches. Like, they're over there getting all like, and Dan's just like,
are you saying Campbell like stares across the field at these guys and gets them all nervous because he stares into their eyes and
he looks into their souls and deems them unworthy and then dominates them with his team. Yeah.
From across the field, right?
It's his presence. They just feel the balls in the wheelbarrow. They just can sense them, and they just can't stand it. It's just that, it's their impotence is overwhelming.
O'Connell also had Andy Dalton on his side, which was not good. The wheels fell off that thing. You know, they had a looking all good all year, but then it was all like paper mache and like glitter.
Right.
You know,
right?
The real Andy Dalton showed up at the end.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
I mean, not Andy Dalton. What did I say? I was thinking another ginger. You know,
I was trying not to. You know,
Sorry about that. You know, that was my bad. But the ginger quarterbacks, they're just bad.
They have no souls. That's what they say.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
I was thinking maybe that like he like coached Andy Dalton at like another stop on his career, and this is like the second like.
You might have. I don't
know. Well, hey guys,
but no, Darnold definitely did not look up to the task. Granted, it wasn't just him. His team was similarly just a bit disheveled, and yeah. He did not look, but like, actually, like, let's just spend a second. I'm curious what you guys think. Cause like, I think they got a dilemma on their hands a little bit. The Vikings, like, what do you pay to get him back and hold on to Darnold this year after what giving you a 14-3 season? Do you let him walk? What do you pay him mega bucks if you have to? What do you guys think?
I'm more inclined to let him go, to be honest with you. I'm not going to pay him mega bucks. No way. Yeah. I mean, I might make him an offer for a year or two to be there, you know, reasonable offer is in quarterback parlance, you know, whatever a reasonable offer is these days for a couple year contract. But I'm not signing him to a long term contract. Not when they just drafted a rookie last year,
J.J.
McCarthy. So, you know,
I agree. I would try to bring him back because they did have a very successful year up until the playoff. And but J.J.'s the guy they're grooming to take
sure.
it whenever he's ready.
Yeah.
But,
I can see like a decent contract, assuming the market's not too hot for him. Like a decent contract, maybe long term's like the way to go, and like front load it, and then like make it where he's expendable in like 2 years, so you can continue to develop JJ. But I think you try. How do you get a guy that leads you to 14-3, and then you just say bye? Like I don't know. I feel like that's a tough one. But I like the last two
NFL,
games
baby.
Are compelling, and I don't know. It's
you
just
win the big games. You
I'm glad we don't have that problem.
All right,
yeah.
That problem aside, let's forget about the freaking Vikings for a second, okay? And let's go back to the Lions in this upcoming game here. Talk about the injuries a little bit. Terrion Arnold went out that last game against the Vikings with a contusion on his foot, but it looks like he will be back. So that's good news for our secondary.
Huge.
They played a great game against Minnesota. Rakestraw might be back, although it's not 100% sure yet. But he wasn't in the last practice, apparently an illness or something, but he's supposedly healthy, so I don't know. He may be back. One that concerns me a little bit is Zeitler, who had a hammy. He didn't practice, so I don't know what the word is on him exactly. If he doesn't play, I would assume that Mahogany will be filling in, either at left or right guard. They could switch Glasgow over to right. I don't know how they did it last time. But is there anybody else that I'm missing here?
That is a bummer, but yeah. At least you got some good backups.
Hey, Kid J, am I missing anybody here on the injury report that matters? We're reasonably healthy.
I
don't think so. Decker didn't practice, hasn't practiced the last couple of days because of like a personal issue. I don't think he's personal reason. I'm not sure why. I don't know why, but. You mentioned he might be expecting the birth of his
little
child.
Little D.
Before the podcast. But he didn't seem injured like before the game, so didn't seem like
he's
big,
gonna be fine.
Big thing there.
Yeah.
So generally we're healthy. And then I gotta mention this though, because that Vikings game, what a difference Alex Anzalone made on that field.
Oh yeah, baby.
Good Lord, what a difference. I mean,
that's huge. And you hear, I don't know if you listened to Aaron Glenn today, but they were asking him about Anzalone coming back. And he was talking about just how he has that defense down and they like communicate. They know exactly what they're thinking. He's like, if my headset goes down, Alex knows exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You know, so
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So, hey, did you guys notice, though, like, Campbell was wearing the green dot the whole time Anzalone's gone. Is Anzalone wearing the green dot again on the helmet? Because I really didn't notice, to be honest.
I would think he would be.
Well, it sounds like it based on that response from Glenn. I mean, I think Campbell did a pretty damn good job, but either way, you got both of those guys back there. We're so much better with both of them.
You know, those two cover the field is unreal.
I think this might be like our Bob Sanders, UJ, from that Colts team back in the day. Do you remember that one, Bob?
Your favorite
Bob Sanders. It's fitting because the Colts were out, like, really good, like we were that year. Offense just dominant, but their defense had some issues. Like, they weren't great at run stopping. Actually, was the case. They were the worst run stopping defense in the league that year, and Bob Sanders was out for a good chunk of that season, and he comes back right at or before the playoffs, and they go from, like, all these gaudy number lines because they were facing, I think it was like Santonio Holmes or someone, some great running back, Larry Johnson, the best running tack in the league, and they just absolutely shut him down and then proceeded to shut down every team to the Super Bowl. And I just think bringing Anzo back is going to have that effect. I think this defense looked ready to just buzzsaw through the playoffs.
Usually it's UJ hyping up the Colts instead of talking about the Lions. But just running the family.
That's another issue. anyway, yeah.
Bob Sanders ignited that defense. I think that we saw that similar effect.
I think our run defense is going to be great in this game. I think Washington is going to have to pass a lot to win this game. And rely on Jaden Daniels to do that. If the Lions can keep their disciplined pass rush, maybe we might not be like the Rams were last week, but if we keep our lanes, keep our discipline, keep him sort of contained in the pocket, I think we got a great chance in this game, just dominating against our offense. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think this is what AG's been building this defense towards is a disciplined pass rush to negate the legs of a mobile quarterback. If you watched, like, our defense last few weeks, especially that Darnold against Darnold, like, they came on like a wave, man. Like, they were always just in, like, it was always like a unit just pressing. The pressure might not have gotten there instantly, but it came not long after the snap, and it was coming together. Like, I think they've been mastering this, and I think they're ready to take it, you know, use it in the playoffs against a guy like Jaden.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see how well they do that. He's a different animal. I mean, he's no Sam Darnold. This guy.
No.
Move.
Yeah.
And he's going to be dangerous. He's probably going to get away with a few runs here and there and get a few first downs that were.
I mean, he might.
And Washington goes for it a lot.
They do.
Excuse me. But they do go for it a lot like we do. And they're very successful at it, too. So it's going to be real interesting. The battle of the Dans here, going for it on fourth down all the time. And then Washington seems as comfortable doing it as we do. At least they did in that game against Tampa. So, you know, we got that to worry about a little bit, I guess.
You can worry about it if you want. I'm good.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, it's something we got to be
concerned about. Yeah. I think our offense is way better than their defense, too. I mean, they've got some players, you know, like Bobby Wagner and the elderly Bobby Wagner.
Yeah. But still pretty good.
And Jeremy Chin, who I wanted in the draft, but I'm glad we have
Illinois boy, right?
Safeties now. So
yeah.
Yeah. Worked out not getting him, but he's a good player.
Well, you know, the Lions rushing D is fifth in the league this year. And the Redskins were 29th. So if you look at the matchup that way, our running games, and you know we want to run the ball.
You know, oh yeah.
We got Monty back.
Monty
and, to do some pounding in there. And Gibbs and Monty. Oh, Sonic and Knuckles. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Look out, Redskins, baby. Because you're gonna see a lot of those guys in this game, I think. So it's gonna be very exciting to watch this run game. It'd be really curious to see. I mean, that's who I see it. They're gonna come out and try to run a lot initially. That's what I'm guessing. You're gonna want to wear this team down.
Yeah, I mean, I could see some shots early too. I think they have that concept of aggression and urgency as well. Like I think you want to score rapidly early, and you can settle into a pound and grind especially if you manage some points quick. Like I could see some runs early, but I also see some shots, like maybe a JMO draw meant to score quick. But I definitely see them getting a lot of time throughout the game.
I'd kind of like to see, like, throw a curveball, because it seems like generally we come out trying to run, establish the run right away. And look at the Rams did in that game against the Vikings. They came out just flinging it right down the field, boom, 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 score a touchdown. I'd kind of like to see us almost doing that. Mm-hmm. I think that would put them back on their heels immediately.
I think the Bills game kind of taught us that, didn't it? Like, you just take the initiative, like, especially when you can, like, and you got that offense. And if anything in this game, it's like a scoring shootout would seem to be the thing that would give the Skins the best chance at, like, I think trying to get us. But I don't like their odds there either, because if we establish early quick scores, like, it's just, yeah, I think they'll be behind the eight ball fast.
And if that run defense on the Commanders is not as good as some run defenses, so you could even if they do run, they might get some big chunk plays and move the chains, you know, and still get a quick drive, even with a bunch of runs mixed in. Oh,
you touch Gibbs, always a chance to score. I guess
because one thing about Ben Johnson's offense, it's always pretty balanced. Like, he doesn't just like, oh, I'm going to pass this game like all the time. You know, they always, I don't know, you got weapons everywhere. You know, that's what the Commanders have to worry about. We got our great tight ends, got great receivers, got great running backs.
Yeah, you can't just key on one guy with our offense. And that's why we're so good. I mean, God, we got guys that can just tear you up.
You just reminded me of someone else who's back under the radar. He was already back last week, but we also got Leaf back, baby.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the speed demon to worry about now. Like, oh, man. This Redskins got hands full, man. Woo!
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This can be another of those Jack Fox games where he's just holding the ball for kickoffs and stuff, you know?
I love that highlight video they put on the team website. Yeah. Him just holding.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. The best punter in the league. We got that if we need it, though. Any other thoughts on this upcoming game, you guys? I mean, as far as the matchup or anything like that.
Yeah, I bet they throw in some trick plays. I know we might not need to, but I think Ben likes to open up the playbook for every team.
Yeah,
maybe. I'd love to see a lineman get a touchdown, but we could see.
Oh,
it.
Yeah, Sewell. This is Sewell's time. He needs one.
Yeah, Sewell's due.
Yeah,
you know, Skipper's got his.
Yeah, I was going over a bunch of stats and things like that, and you know what? In these playoff games, do they really even matter at all? Seriously, as Kid Jay would say, throw the book out the window.
Yeah,
throw in the trash. Doesn't matter. It's gonna.
I agree. Be
a fun playoff game with a great atmosphere. With a playoff great Lions team, baby.
Playoff football is another level. Like it's just a different. It's a whole different like season, pretty much. That's played at like an elevated level. It's not comparable to the regular season.
Oh, and I agree.
You're right, UJ. I like you. People talk about the ranking of the Skins defense, and I'm like, who cares? Like, I put faith in is not some ranking of them. What I put faith in is our boys Sewell and Zeitler and Rags and, you know, Decker and Glasgow. Those guys are animals, and that's why we're gonna dominate in the trenches. Those guys are gonna break the will of that defense. And, you know, with plenty of help from Sonic and Knuckles.
I think I'm glad you brought that up, because I think as much as they do get credit, they don't get enough credit. Our offensive line is studly, man. And probably the main reason why we're as good as we are.
The main difference.
One thing. I mean, our line is awesome.
Yeah.
I bet Vikings would have liked our line in that game, you know, like it's honestly the key distinguishing factor on our team in a lot of ways as a feature. Like, no, very few teams feature a dominant offensive line like we do. And it
that's why
really
we're never out of any game. Like even that Buffalo game where we got off a huge deficit, our offense just willed its way back into that game and almost pulled out. You know, another minute or two longer, we probably won that game. But
oh yeah, and that Minnesota game too. The line kind of wore them down. Oh, you know, like totally. Because the end of that game, they were moving the ball at will. You know, the Lions.
I saw it happen in the third quarter. When like I just seemed like, wow, it just like changed. Like they were defeated, and you could tell. And
yeah, and then it seems like the energy in the Lions even picks up more. And then at the end, they're just like,
oh yeah,
just rolling, just confident.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and what do you guys think? You know, the whole buy thing. Obviously, you want to buy, but there's the whole momentum thing too, but right. I don't think it's going to affect the Lions because we needed a buy, you know, with all the injuries and everything and people just banged up. And the way Campbell runs the practices, there's going to be no let up. There's going to be no like taking this team for granted. It's like you were saying, UJ, it's one game at a time. They're not thinking ahead to the NFC Championship. They're just concentrating on the Commanders and what they could do to beat them.
Hey, so. Did you hear? I read where Dan Quinn. I don't know if this is true or not, but he had a practice outdoors in the cold for this game coming up against the Lions.
Oh,
and which brought to mind apparently Patricia did this.
Yeah, I remember
when
that.
We were playing four games coming up indoors, and he went and played outdoors in like 30-degree weather just to. I don't know why, but just to make a point of some sort. But so I don't know.
Toughen them up, I guess.
I don't know. Who knows? It sure means nothing. But I just thought I'd bring that up.
It brings a different energy to practice. I don't know if Patricia did it. It's hard for me to understand if it's a good thing. Then.
yeah.
Right. Anyway,
that's funny though. I didn't hear that they did that practicing outdoor.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game. That there is good coaching on that side. Dan Quinn's a hell of a coach, and we have a really good coach on our side. So it's going to be a fun matchup. I expect a lot of fireworks and a lot of scoring by our team. So
aren't there a lot of weird, like Lions connections at play here too? Like David Blau's over there. I think there's a couple other like former Lions. Or something. You guys haven't heard any of that?
No, I didn't.
Stuff.
No.
Thank you, KJ.
There's a couple Lions. I'm one of the Lions ex front office folks is in Washington now. I forgot his name, but yeah, David Blau's assistant.
I think there might be like a defender or something too that we've had.
Well, we also have who's our quarterbacks coach.
Mark Brunell.
Who
Mark Brunell
won a playoff game with the Redskins when he was there. I think the last one to win a playoff game there.
Yeah, there you go.
That was interesting too. So that'll be fun. I'm sure they'll bring that up in the broadcast somehow. You know,
yeah, I'm sure they will.
But hey, I think it's time, you guys. What do you think? It's time for our world famous hold on. No, not yet. I think we got one more thing to talk about, Kid J. During this week, coaches were allowed to interview for other jobs.
Yes.
Kid J, if you can just give us a quick summation of what Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn went through this last week.
Yes, I believe during the last during the Lions bye from between like Thursday and like Saturday. They were allowed to interview virtually with teams. And I think Ben Johnson interviewed with the Bears, Jets, Patriots, Raiders, Saints. And I think that might be those five teams. And then Aaron Glenn interviewed with the Bears, the Jets, and the Saints. There might be another team in there, but I can't remember right now, but he interviewed with those three teams, and then he blocked a request with the Patriots, who ultimately hired Mike Vrabel. So
yeah,
good for him.
Yeah.
And now they can't interview until I think January 20th, or if the Lions make it to the Super Bowl, they can't interview until that to that bye week between this the conference week and this conference championship
are they
game. And the Super
in person
Bowl.
Interviews and for that,
they can be in person, but they have to be in the coordinator's city or at a location that the team chooses. So weird. Basically, the team interviewing Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson have to go to Detroit.
So when's like the earliest we would know results of these things? Do you think
after the season?
Probably like either like right before like Super Bowl week or like probably like right after
they,
the Super Bowl.
They can't officially hire during the season, can they?
Like
they can't officially unless the teams are eliminated, yeah. I believe. So they can't like officially announce it, but they'll like, you know, there'll be like reports or, you know, agreements, you know, heavily implied agreements that they're going to.
And now they job, Mike you know. McCarthy's out there as another guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be hired. My prediction is Aaron Glenn's going to get the Saints job and Ben Johnson gets the Bears job. But that's my early prediction.
I thought the Aaron Glenn would get the Jets job, but I'm now leaning like you toward the Saints. I think the Saints are going to want Aaron Glenn. Ben, this is a tough one, man. It could go any direction here. Like you're talking about Tom Brady having shown interest in Ben Johnson. He's a part owner of the Raiders now.
Yeah.
It's very intriguing, but they don't have a real quarterback there. If he goes to the Bears, they got a great young rookie quarterback to mold in his, you know, way he wants to. It seems like they got a better setup for Ben. I his only problem is
no.
I see is the GM. There, but
but
that's something they could work out, I suppose. It just seems like he there's more there for him. I hope he doesn't go there, but
I hope he doesn't either. I don't understand the Lions. That's just
I know
the way I'm reading it, but
I know. I just
so what's your prediction, UJ? Go ahead,
what for what
is for it, our coordinators?
Yeah,
well, I predicted they're both going to be gone.
Wait, but you just went all that time talking about the Bears. What? That didn't factor into your prediction.
Do you think they go to the Raiders or the?
Well, I see, but I don't know. It could all be smoke and mirrors. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know either. No, obviously we don't know, but I think the Bears is smoke and mirrors. That's like a lot of surface level resources. It's not the GM. It's the ownership. There's systematic cyclical issues there. Unless he gets some really good negotiating moves, where like. He gets certain assurances and authorities to like really make sure that thing place is shaped the way he needs it to be with the right kind of cohesion with the GM and whoever's there. Like, I think he's too smart to go to such a poorly run organization as the Chicago Bears. So I just don't see Ben Johnson going there. They'd have to throw a lot of money and probably make certain promises. I'm going to go wild here, and I'm going to predict that Ben stays another year to continue building the dynasty here, and AG does walk. I like the Saints for him. So that's my predictions for our coaches.
All right.
Those are our coaching predictions for next year. And now to our world-famous segment, our world famous predictions. Ooh, baby. And this is a big one, folks. This is a big one. Oh boy, this is a divisional round of the playoffs. Two more games, and we're in the Super Bowl. Oh, but let's forget about those games. Let's talk about this game right here. So, as usual, we have our two predictions. First is our roar of the week, followed by our prediction for the game. So I think today, let's start with Rud Dog. What is your prediction? Or hold up, what is your roar of the week?
All right. Well, I think this feels like a good week to go back to old familiar, y'all. Jahmyr Gibbs, baby. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be an absolute force through these playoffs and a major factor in our victories because he's just such a dynamic and explosive playmaker. And I think he's going to just have his way with teams through the playoffs. So Jahmyr Gibbs is going to go off. I'm going to give him about 160 yards on the ground, two touchdowns, and another one through the air with like 50 yards through the air. Just a dynamo day, you know. And the crazy thing will be that Monty's also going to get a touchdown on the ground and 100 yards. So it's going to be a murderous day for our running backs. But Jahmyr Gibbs is my roar of the week.
Ooh, I think we all kind of like that one.
Yeah.
How about you, Bob?
All right. Well, I was going to do Jahmyr Gibbs, but now I feel like I should shift because you stole my thunder.
Sorry.
I know we could double up, but I'm not going to because I think our offense is going to have a really good game. So there'll be multiple people to choose from. So I'm going to go with our all-pro wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he's going to have a big game. He's going to be finding those seams, catching those passes, and then breaking a couple long ones too. So I think he's going to get like over 120 yards and two touchdowns. Amon-Ra St. Brown is my roar of the week.
Beautiful.
That was a good one, Bob. You know why it was a good one? Because it's the same one that I picked. My God.
No way.
Sorry, your shirt.
Sometimes me and you think alike. It really scares me.
Yeah,
Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm predicting a huge game for Amon-Ra. I'm looking at 9 catches, 140 yards, and 2 touchdowns in this game.
Ooh.
He is going to be the go-to man for Jared Goff in this game. Whenever they need it, he will be there, as he's been all season long. I just see a great game for him, and he shines in the big moments. And this is going to be a big moment. He's going to really be good in this one. So, yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown is my roar of the week.
Beautiful.
All right. Good one. Good one.
How about you, Kid J?
Kid J.
My roar of the week is I'm going to be on the other side of the ball. I think the Lions, have historically had a tough time managing and trying to contain mobile quarterbacks. And I think, Jaden Daniels has he's very dynamic both as a thrower and a runner, and I think they're gonna probably do a lot of zone reads. He has over like 800 rushing yards in the year, I believe. He's like the team's leading rusher, or second leading rusher, I think. And then so I think it's gonna be up to Alex Anzalone to help diagnose a lot of those zone reads and make sure all the players have the right responsibilities and assignments. To make sure they don't fall for those reads and make the right decisions while they do. So I think because of that, I think Anzalone is going to be my roar of the week.
All right,
I believe Big Z might be sending in his roar, so we'll be stay tuned for that.
Hey, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Oh boy, it is time for the main event, as I like to say. Man, the playoffs are here. This is what we've been waiting for. This is our time. The Lions are the Super Bowl favorites right now. That is absolute insanity. I'm unfortunately not able to make the podcast. I might not make the next few. I just had my second future Lions fan, so I'm dealing with all that right now, but I'm sure the rest of the crew has got it handled extremely well. Listen to the last one. They did great. But, man, we have a really fun matchup. The Redskins, Commanders, they've come on hot late, but they've won 6 straight 1-score games. You can say they have a horseshoe up their ass. There's a lot of different things here in play. Obviously, Jaden Daniels and his running ability. How are the Lions going to defend that? Maybe they just let him. It's fine. But I think they can shut down this rushing attack, Brian Robinson and the Commanders. Then on the defensive side of the ball, it's not a strong defensive team. This was a team that was finished last due to their talent on the defensive side mainly. They have a couple pieces on the defensive front, but I think our offensive line is more than able to handle it. Even if Zeitler is out for the game, I still think we should be able to handle them. So I really like this matchup with the Lions. I think we match up extremely well. There's a reason they're 9.5-point favorites. So let me give my predictions. So, of course, our first one is our roar of the week. It's the most important roar of the week. each and everyone going forward. The next three games is going to be the most important roar of the week of this 2024-2025 season. My roar of the week this week is going to be none other than a man named Jameson Williams. I think he absolutely goes off. I think he matches up extremely, extremely well with his Commander's defense. I think Lattimore is going to be more focused on Amon-Ra. That's not true because Amon-Ra, he'll be my flow on. Either way, Marshawn Lattimore is not where he once was. Mike Evans proved that in the last round. And I think Jameson Williams goes off for at least over 100 yards, a 45-yard touchdown, 30-yard catch, another 21, six catches, over 100 yards, and a touchdown. He's going to really go off. I almost want Anzalone here as well, defending Jaden Daniels. We saw that last week, how big of a difference he could make. Then, of course, now it's time for the ever-famous predictions. Lines open up at 8.5. It's now 9.5 points. This is the highest over-under of the playoffs thus far. It was 55.5 at one point. I haven't looked to see what it is now. The Lions over-under team points is 33.5. That's pretty high. Even for playoffs. Lions did not hit that in both games last year. I'm going to go 31-17 Lions. I think we control this game up and down, especially in the run game. Washington's one of the bottom 10 defensive team against the run, and the Lions are going to expose the hell out of that. If you want any good bets, Jared Goff under interceptions, Gibbs over 80 yards rushing. Obviously, I think Jameis is going to have a big game. This is going to be a hell of a game. Can't wait to get to the NFC Championship. Thanks to the Blue Kool-Aid crew for stepping up while I'm out raising my second future Lions fan. All right. Go Lions.
Okay, now it's time for our prediction for the game. Let's go with Bob. What do you say, Bob?
All right. Well, this is going to be... Ford Field's going to be hopping, as it always is these days. What do you say, the hottest ticket in the NFL right now?
Hottest ticket in the NFL, baby.
Yeah. So people love this team because that building is so fun. And so I think this can be a nice high-scoring game for the Lions. We're going to be opening up a well-balanced offense. Defense is going to be reminding their quarterback that he is a rookie. So nice. He can go celebrate after the game about his great season, but he's going to be finishing up in Detroit this year. So I think the Lions are going to win this one big. 48-12.
Oh, Lions. Baby.
It's going to be a big show on the offense here, and the defense is going to shut them down.
Wow.
So Goff's going to have a huge game. Our running backs, their run defense is not going to be that good compared to our running backs. Obviously, I said Amon-Ra is going to have the big game, and Jahmyr Gibbs is going to break 100 yards, and each of our running backs is going to get a touchdown as well. So
you said 48-12?
48-12. Wow. I don't know if it's a scoregami, but it should be. So that is my prediction.
I love it.
I love that.
Now, if you're saying 48-12, okay, I'm going to fill in for Big Z here. Momentarily. So.
Oh yeah, because yeah, Red Dog sucks. So you gotta let UJ prepare here. Are you ready?
Hold on.
Oh God, what's happening right now?
Okay, <I'm> ready. Red Dog, what's your prediction for the game?
You guys, there's so much pressure on my prediction. Obviously, I'm not too high on our chances. I think our defense and our offense and this whole team, special teams, it's just going to be like a force of nature going through Ford Field. Like, teams are going to come in and they're just going to get dismantled. I think this Lions team is so geared up, so focused, so prepared, so cohesive that it's not going to matter. They're going to have their way with this Commanders team, and it's gonna be a glorious sight to behold. I think I like what Bob said about the rookie quarterback. I think he's gonna have a rough day, and it's just 78-0 murderous shutdown, just violent intent. Oh my God.
79-3. UJ holding up.
That was pretty close.
This prediction of Red Dog's prediction.
This team,
that
man,
was pretty close.
This team is just,
that's good.
It's too good, and they're going to show the world, and anyone who's in their way will be decimated. So Detroit Lions 78-0. On to the conference championship, baby. That's my prediction.
Oh man, gotta love it. Gotta love it.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. 78-0. Boy, would that be something to see. Yeah. All right.
Oh, and Terry Arnold gets his first pick.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I would love to see that. I guess after you guys, mine's a little more sedate, I guess. My prediction is 35-20.
Ew.
I think the Washington's going to score a little bit, but it's not going to really threaten. We're going to be ahead in this game, and by the fourth quarter, we're going to be running a lot, which why I'm predicting the score to be only 35 and not more than that, because I think we're going to be controlling the game on the ground in the second half. So 35-20, the maestro of magnificence, Jared Goff, is going to just have a game. He's going to be in command. He'll be lucky to have more than three incompletions in the whole game. It's going to be great. He's going to put on a show. The Lions are going to put on a clinic in this game, and they're going to win it. I think fairly convincingly at 35-20. It's not going to seem that close.
It's acceptable.
So that is my prediction.
All right.
With Jay.
I like it.
I mean, I like that we win a little weak on the score.
My prediction is, I was thinking about this, like, with playoff matchups. Like, you know, you said the Lions are 0-3 against the Washington football franchise over the course of their history, and according to, including that very heartbreaking loss in the 90s in the NFC Championship,
yes,
I believe,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, it was heartbreaking. But you know what? You know what the Lions are? They're 0-0 against the Commanders, not the Redskins, against the Commanders. So I looked in this big book again. I'm going to bring out the record book again.
I looked in
to see the playoff record of the Lions versus the Commanders, and you know I couldn't find a dang thing. It says 0-0. not a recorded playoff game. Wow. Between the Lions and the Commanders. Only the Redskins in here. I don't know why. That's weird. But you know, and when it's a fresh new franchise name, you know, fresh new players, fresh new era, fresh new whole generation, you know, you gotta do throw out the record books and
all right.
You gotta throw out the record books, you know, when it just comes to the situations like this. But and I think because of that, the Lions are going to win. I think they're going to win 39-24.
I think they're going to win 39. All right, I cover.
Yeah, I think you killed the dog, by the way, when you threw that book.
I heard a little yelp back there.
Oh, man, too good. So
awesome.
I got this right. We all picked the Lions in this game.
Holy smokes.
Hey, do you realize this whole season, our record is exactly the same as the Lions' record this year.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Amazing.
Pretty impressive, amazing, isn't it?
Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good.
14-2 or 15-2 on the season, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
It's going to be a fun game to look forward to this Saturday night following the Chiefs and the Texans game. And we get the prime time, not the Chiefs, because everyone wants to see us, not the Chiefs, right?
Yeah,
so, yeah. We get the prime time game,
America's
Saturday
team,
night. So this is very exciting.
Don't you think in general that this is the best weekend of football, just historically?
Yes.
This
divisional round.
Yes.
Yeah, the divisional round.
It tends to be really good games, close games, hard fought games. I agree with you. Yeah, this tends to be the best one.
Well, that's too bad. There's going to be a blowout in
that's field. Nothing bad about that. Lions are fun to watch.
No, yeah, that's right. They'll put on a show for everyone to enjoy.
I'm assuming they're going to wear the blues in this one. What do you think?
That's what I'm hoping. I don't know what they're going to wear, but
what if they wear black? UJ, would it be okay?
No, not the. Jesus, we're done with the blacks. They use them up their allotment.
I was gonna say they're alternatives, anyway, right? You're not allowed to.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind the blue top, silver bottom look. I like that one. We haven't done that in a while, I feel like.
Nah, but they've done real good with the blues.
They haven't done it at all this year.
Same new with the blues, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, blues are good.
Well, so solid pod. Well, Z is.
Can we wear our whites? I know we were home, but like, could we do that if we wanted to? Are there like since it's the playoffs, couldn't they?
I guess
like,
theoretically.
I love our whites.
Well, it's the home team's choice, I believe, but I think they usually wear the darker, you know, jersey at home and the light one.
Usually, but I think they have the like power to invert it if they want. Don't they? I think so. Anyway, I feel like I've seen that like places where teams have worn their light colors at home and made the travelers wear the. I think we've done it against a team where we wore like our home uniforms on the road. Anyway, I don't know. I like our whites. That would be. I'd be happy with that.
So Bob, yeah. What were you saying? You were mentioning something.
Yeah. No, I was just saying. Z's out. He's taking care of a baby right now, but he'll be watching the game, and I think he'll be back for the next pod.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, we hope so.
But this was a very good pod, except for my error in thinking that all ginger quarterbacks are the same person. So I messed that up.
Well, that'll be in our outtakes thing at the end of the year. When
Have you seen Andy Dalton and Sam Darnold in the same room together? I haven't.
No, I have not.
Soulless place that was that day.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Is that an on that note?
Yeah, that kind of is an on that note one.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to get Jay to step in here momentarily to thank. Well, first of all, I want to thank all the listeners who listen all the time. We love you guys. And then there's some other people we got to thank too, right, Kid Jay?
Yeah, we got to thank Minuteman Media for hosting the podcast. Got to thank all of our wonderful fans. Got to thank the Detroit Lions for giving us something to talk about every week. And got to plug our social media. Got to Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at drinking lions, and then I'm on YouTube at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Follow us on there for all of our
And Kid Jay's doing some great work with that, by the way, on the YouTube and doing some shorts and putting some good content out there. So
definitely
check us out and subscribe. That'd be great. We'd love to.
So we should probably thank our producer then, right?
Oh yeah, I think we should. It's time to thank our producer.
Kid Jay.
Oh, that was way better.
We nailed it. Damn, we're good.
And Kid Jay is the best in the business, folks. He's the best in the business. So once again, thank you.
Around.
Hope you enjoyed the pod.
Who's ever gonna keep
and last, as always, last but not least...
Go!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and game. A Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Now it's time for the ever famous predictions. Lions open up at 8.5. It's now 9.5 points. This is the highest over under of the playoffs thus far. It was 55.5 at one point. I haven't looked to see what it is now. The Lions over under team points is 33.5. That's pretty high, even for playoffs. Lions did not hit that in both games last year. I'm going to go 31-17 Lions. I think we control this game up and down, especially in the run game. Washington's one of the bottom 10 defensive team against the run, and the Lions are going to expose the hell out of that. If you want any good bets, Jared Goff under interceptions, Gibbs over 80 yards rushing. Obviously, I think Jameis is going to have a big game. This is going to be a hell of a game. Can't wait to get to the NFC Championship. Thanks to the Blue Kool-Aid crew for stepping up while I'm out raising my second future Lions fan. All right. Go Lions.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.